Greet each one in the precious name of Christ this morning. It's good to be here with you. Just to let you know, Lowell was planning to have the opening, but because of his mom's condition, he has to be relieved of that, and so I'll have it this morning. I'd like to continue drawing some thoughts from the book, In My Father's Vineyard. Several weeks ago I had started. Since it's winter, I think we'll start with the winter season. What happens in a vineyard during the winter months? In John 15, verse 1, remember that Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. It is the Father's vineyard year-round, regardless what season it is. I'm going to be reading a bit this morning, just some thoughts that I really like. The section on winter, a season of rest, and the first part talks about the fading glory. It says, after the harvest, the glory of the vineyard seems to fade quickly. It's not easy to watch God's glory fade in the vineyard or in our lives. It's even harder not to do anything about it. But this is the season to let the glory go. To be a good branch on the vine, we have to do only two things. First, we need to abide or remain in the vine, treasuring friendship with Jesus every day. Second, we need to let go of everything else, even the success of the harvest. Serious disciples must learn the secret of letting go. God moves on, and he invites us to go with him, even into the season of winter. And I would just say this, that I think every individual has different lengths of seasons. Sometimes there may be within 1 month you may go through all the four seasons. The spring of new growth, the time of harvest, and a time of rest. Perhaps you go through it in a week's time. I'm not sure. It may vary. It's not easy to let go all the time. When the Apostle Paul summarized his guiding passion for life and ministry in Philippians 3, he said simply that it was to know Christ. Everything else in comparison was rubbish. Then he added what every branch needs to learn. Forget the things that lie behind and press on toward the prize of God's highest calling. Paul was not referring just to failures and sins, but to successes and joys as well. Never is the danger of simply hanging on greater than at the onset of winter. The harvest is a time of euphoria with almost daily opportunities to touch lives. We watch God do amazing things through us. Temptations are far distant, and even our most difficult moments are swallowed up by an overreaching joy. Yet, like all seasons, harvest runs its course. Suddenly, the opportunities aren't as laden with power as they had been. They are fewer and farther between. We don't seem as effective as we used to be. We have to redouble our efforts just to get by. Temptations return with a vengeance, and every little thing that goes wrong irritates us. What has happened? Why is the joy slipping away? It's easy to panic if we don't recognize that a new season has begun. Our first conclusion may be that something is wrong with us, that we have failed or disobeyed. We try repentance, but it doesn't seem to be the answer. While it might refresh our walk with the Lord, we still watch helplessly as the harvest withers. What are we to do? Most of us try to hide the fading. If we don't let people see it, they won't know the harvest is over. So we cover it up, most commonly with busyness. We push through by our own efforts what had seemed so graced before. But that's not the way it happens in the vineyard. No farmer holds on to the harvest, hiding its end, lest someone think him a failure. Every farmer celebrates not only the harvest, but also its conclusion. In fact, I've never met a farmer who wasn't relieved to have the crop in and winter approaching. the onset of winter is not to be lamented. These are days when the vineyard will be restored for a new year. The activity of growth slows, so the farmer has time to tend to other needs in the vineyard. No season of ministry is open-ended. God harvests in specific seasons through specific people. If we recognize this fact, we can allow specific harvest times to come to completion, and then we can celebrate and let go. And an example of that is in the early church, when Paul and Barnabas were first sent on their missionary journey. At the conclusion of that journey, in Acts 14, it says, on their return to Antioch, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So they fulfilled the work. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I think it was a time of celebration relating to the church in Antioch. What all had happened? Did they reach all the people in Asia? No, there are still a lot of people who don't know the good message of salvation. But they had recognized this was for that season. And then it says, and there they abode long time with the disciples. I think they had a time of rest, a time of letting go of that glory of ministering, touching lives, meeting needs. They needed a time of rest and refreshment. They abode long time with the disciples. One branch was never meant to bear all the fruit in the vineyard or to live in continual harvest. So when opportunity around you slows, when you don't seem to be as effective as you had been, when God seems a little distant, it may be time for a change of season. And if you have a hard time letting go, perhaps you need the coming winter more than you know. The rest of winter is not the result of overdoing oneself. The vine is not wasted from its fruitfulness. On the contrary, it has more strength reserves at the end of fall than at any other time of the year. All those leaves, they produce energy for the roots. In my father's vineyard, and this is talking, this man, Wayne Jacobson, grew up with his father had a vineyard. And he says, in his father's vineyard, if autumn was particularly dry, he would give the fields one last irrigation. This ensured that the dormancy was part of the normal growth cycle, not the result of carelessness or starvation. And this next sentence, a healthy vine rests while a starved vine withers. And the distinction between these two, though not always evident in winter, will be obvious next spring. Winter is God drawing us to the quiet where he does his deepest work. I've never heard it explained scientifically, but every farmer knows that the colder the winter, the better the crop next year. Mild winters lead to average yields. It seems the further the sap is driven into the vine, the richer its return. The more we let God slow us down and the more we let him put us on the sidelines, the more empowered we become for the days ahead. We need to welcome the stillness, for only then can we hear the depths of God's heart and find his true leading. There are two activities that happen in a vineyard during the winter. One is the pruning takes place, and the other one is tying the canes to the wire. I'd like to talk just briefly on some of that. Says, a vine in winter is a confusing array of tan canes that uncoil from the vine like broken watch springs. Emerging the previous spring as flexible green spirals, they now have become woody sticks that shoot out every which way. Along the length of each cane, small brown buds about half the size of a pencil eraser grow several inches apart. Inside these little buds, bunches of fruit for the coming year have already formed. Each bud contains one primary bunch, fully formed, albeit at microscopic size. Each bud also contains one or two secondary bunches that will sprout if something damages the first. The problem is that there are too many branches for the vine to carry successfully to harvest. Each cane holds 20 to 25 buds, and there are anywhere from 40 to 60 canes on each vine. So you do the multiplication and you come up with a lot of potential. So the excess canes must be cut off. The shears tear into the vine, reducing the number of canes to just 5. Out of those 40 or 60 canes, they only leave 5 on. That's all the vine will be able to support in the coming year. In a rather short period of time, the vine is radically transformed from confusion and chaos into a simple, stately form with 5 canes arching gracefully into the winter sky. What a marvelous picture of the surgery God performs in our lives. He prunes so we can bear more fruit. He cuts away the clutter from our lives. Yes, it wounds us, but these are the wounds of a friend who cuts softly and tenderly, and he prunes us while we are at rest, in an environment where we are being refreshed by his presence, so the wounds are not so painful nor so likely to be used by the enemy to engender bitterness or rebellion. And so he cuts, first to rid us of canes that are broken or unhealthy. God cuts away the worldly passions and distractions that siphon off our spiritual life. During pruning, we will have a keener sense of our sinfulness because he is calling us to repentance. He prunes carefully, making sure there is no area where the enemy can keep a foothold. Second, God cuts to rearrange our lives under his agenda. Growth and harvest have a way of multiplying opportunities in our lives, but those opportunities can spread us so thin that we are fruitless. They can also distract us from our friendship with Jesus. The pruning resets our focus so we can concentrate on what he wants us to do rather than everything we can do. Better to do a few things that are fruitful than lots of things that are futile, things that turn out to be empty foliage. Fruitfulness, not busyness, is the goal of a conscientious believer. The life that listens to God is not a whirlwind of activity, but a focused life. God's pruning results in simplicity, power, and joy. It brings fulfillment and fruitfulness. Don't resist it. And just a few comments yet about being tied to the wire. These few canes that are left, they're pretty rigid, and it takes some careful bending to tie them to the wire. Says the farmer must be careful. If he pulls a cane too abruptly or at the wrong angle, it will break off, and 1/5 of the crop of that vine will be lost. The farmer must be infinitely gentle, curving the cane carefully back to the wire in an arc that will not break. The cane, of course, would rather remain free, reaching out to the heavens, unrestricted by the wire. Right now, it doesn't need the support. But by the time it does, when the leaves are thick and the fruit begins to ripen, it will be too late. It will be impossible to wrap the cane on the wire then without breaking off most of the new growth. Like the vines in my father's vineyard, we too need support for our fruitfulness. All too often we sense God's calling in our heart and then set out to accomplish it in our own way. Though we may find some measure of success, the biblical fruitfulness we anticipate never comes. Unless our calling is reinforced with godly support, That will always be the case. The history of the body of Christ is littered with people who were not strong enough to withstand their own successes. People who started out remarkably fruitful only to be pulled under by pride or sin or some other failure. Behind each tragic incident is the story of someone who stepped out unsupported in spiritual growth and fruitfulness. You need support if you are going to be a fruitful branch in the Father's vineyard. You need the support of His presence as you touch Him in prayer and in His word. You also need the support of other believers, Christian brothers and sisters who will come alongside you in prayer and honest dialogue. They can help confirm the validity of what you are hearing and encourage you to put your confidence in the Father. I think I'll stop there. So remember, it's the Father's vineyard. And in His vineyard, we have the different seasons. And whatever season God has you in now, embrace that season. Embrace it with joy. Whether it's harvest time or whether it's the cold of winter, when God may seem distant, and yet that is the time that God wants to minister as deeply as at any other time of your life. Allow Him to do that. The Father is always faithful. Shall we kneel in prayer? Father in heaven, we just thank You that we are part of Your vineyard. You are the one who sees after us. You take care of us. And as we go through the different seasons of life, Lord, help us to recognize that season and to embrace it and to live it out with joy, joyfulness. Lord, You want to continue to make us fruitful, and just help us to remember also we cannot bear fruit without abiding in Jesus Christ, the true vine. Lord, bless the service this morning for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just notice the last song we sang.